In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Preaching on forgiveness is kind of like preaching on Christmas, Easter, and even the Transfiguration. After 18 years, you kind of wonder, how can I possibly say something new on the incarnation, the resurrection, Jesus on the mountaintop, something you haven't already said, it feels like a million times before. Forgiveness is like that. But unlike a one-time event, we preach on forgiveness a lot because it was a pretty big deal to Jesus and he spoke about it often. Even so, as I looked at the readings for today, I was tempted to preach on the reading from Exodus this week. But then I thought that if Jesus felt it was so important, I shouldn't ignore it. And the fact that I struggle with what to say about forgiveness is much like someone who struggles with forgiveness. And the reality is that at one time or another, that is really all of us, right? And as Marcus Borg puts it in the title of his book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, maybe we just might hear something about forgiveness again for the first time. Now, I know there are people who have had great wrongs done to them. Things that are so painful that they are hard to face. Things that are perhaps so painful that they have permanently scarred them or altered them in some damaging way. For these folks, the thought of forgiving the person who caused this pain is beyond reason. And yet, there are stories of remarkable acts of forgiveness. Stories of people who have had enough of the pain and hatred and want to be free of it. A woman named Sheila Cassidy wrote an article called 70 Times 7 back in 1991 in an issue of a periodical called The Tablet. And it's always stayed with me. She said this about carrying around that kind of pain. She said, "I would never say to someone, 'You must forgive.' I would not dare. Who am I to tell a woman whose father abused her or a mother whose daughter has been raped that she must forgive? I can only say, however much we have been wronged, however justified our hatred, if we cherish it, it will poison us. We must pray for the power to forgive, for it is in forgiving that we are healed." Dr. Cassidy knows of which she speaks. She grew up in Sydney, Australia, where she completed medical school in 1963. She wanted to become a plastic surgeon, but she couldn't keep up with a 90-hour work week. So she went to practice medicine in Chile during the government of Salvador Allende. In 1975, Cassidy was caught up in the violence of the Pinochet regime. She gave medical care to a political opponent of the new regime who was being sought by the police. And as a result, she was arrested by the Chilean secret police and kept in custody without trial. And during the early part of her custody, she was severely tortured in an attempt to force her to disclose information about her patient and other contacts. This went on for months and months. Of her ability to forgive her torturers, Cassidy said this, "I never met my torturers. My forgiveness of them is from God. Intellectually, I think they were very wounded people. I believe the capacity to inflict pain is in all of us." Or the story of Louis Zamperini, the Olympic runner who was taken prisoner by the Japanese forces during World War II after his plane was shot down over the Pacific Ocean. The book and later the movie entitled Unbroken details Louis's life including his 2 years as a POW and the unimaginable torture this man and others like him endured. I listened to the audiobook of his story, and at times while listening, would turn it off and think, I can't listen to any more of this. And then I would think, okay, this man lived this. The least you can do is listen to it. What was remarkable was that years after his release and finding his way back to wholeness of life after struggling with alcoholism, Louis returns to Japan and finds the man who was his most hated enemy, the man who sought him out day after day among all the other prisoners to inflict pain and suffering. Louis finds this man, whom the POWs called the bird, and forgives him. Louis says that this was the moment that he truly felt free. These are two remarkable stories of people finding the courage to let go of their hate and anger and forgive sins perpetrated against them that most of us could never even imagine enduring, never mind forgiving. And they forgave people who never even said, I'm sorry, who never asked for their forgiveness. They did it out of the desire to finally be free and fully alive. Now, even though most of us have not endured the kind of suffering that Sheila Cassidy and Louis Zamperini did, we've probably all had situations with others that have caused pain, hurt, humiliation, perhaps even to the point that we have said, I can never forgive him or her for this. Or how much am I supposed to take? How often am I supposed to forgive, to say it's okay? That's what Peter wants to know in this week's gospel lesson. Jesus just told them in last week's reading how to respond to a church member who wronged them in some way. And Peter now says, okay, so suppose the person does repent and asks my forgiveness and then does it again and again. How many times am I supposed to forgive? As many as seven times? Peter probably thought seven was a pretty generous number. I wonder what the look on Peter's face was when Jesus said, oh no, not seven, 77. Or in other translations, it's 70 times seven. Either way, it's meant to say there is no number assigned to forgiveness. We're not supposed to be counting. It's as many times as they ask. Forgiveness is as hard today as it was for Peter. I think that there are times when you are never going to see the person who hurt you again. Perhaps they move away. Or like with Cassidy, she never even knew who they were. Or in Zamperini's case, upon confronting, the bird didn't even feel he had done anything wrong. It was war, he said. And honestly, this man was a sociopath. Or perhaps the person dies before it can be reconciled. So you aren't going to have the person say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Yet forgiving in these instances is still important. Because as Sheila Cassidy says, however much we have been wronged, however justified our hatred, if we cherish it, it will poison us. As hard as it is, I do believe we are asked to forgive as we are forgiven by God, even before we ask. And in those instances when we are still in community with the person who hurts us, when they are family, a friend, a colleague, a fellow parishioner, in the best case scenario, there would be some asking of forgiveness, some acknowledgement that the person is aware that they hurt us and are sorry and are intending, at least at that moment, not to do it again. So this is where it gets complicated for me. What about when that person does do it again and again and again? Well, one theologian says this that I find helpful. He says, we need to understand, however, what forgiveness is and what it is not. When someone has hurt us, forgiveness does not mean saying, oh, it's all right, it doesn't matter. It's not all right, and it does matter. If it really were all right, there would be nothing to forgive. To ask forgiveness is to admit that one has wronged the person whose forgiveness is sought. And for that person to forgive is neither to excuse the wrong nor to pretend that it did not happen. Rather, forgiveness means overcoming our natural instinct to strike back in anger. It involves letting go of our natural desire for retribution and refusing to be ruled by the hatred, malice, vindictiveness, and desire for revenge that can consume us and contaminate our attitudes and behavior. Deliberately holding a grudge has aptly been likened to taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. There's that word again, poison. Something that kills us. It might not physically kill us, but it does kill us emotionally and spiritually. Jesus talks a lot about forgiveness, and he knows how hard it is, and he knows we are always looking for an angle, a reason not to do the hard, painful work of forgiving. How many times do I have to do it? Is 7 times enough? Forgiveness is important to Jesus because what Jesus is ultimately talking about here is reconciliation and community, being one with and in God. Because anything that divides us from God and one another is sinful. Hate, prejudice, injustice, and unresolved pain and anger. And that's why it's so important to Jesus. This is why he talks about it so much, because forgiveness, healing, and holding us together in love is exactly what Jesus came to do. And here's the hard part. It's exactly what we sign on for when we become his followers. Amen.